already been blessed by being here. The music, I think special, that was really touched my heart. I appreciate that. God is great, isn't he? Praise the Lord for that. As I was just thinking about the series of messages that I was going to bring, the one last night was short. Hopefully this one won't be too much longer. But if I could, if it were me and I could only come and hear one of the three messages that I'm going to bring, I would come tonight. That's going to be the best topic. So now don't anybody leave, okay? But I want to encourage you to come back tonight. I know it's not customary a lot of times for everybody to come back on Sunday evening. I believe it's at 6, I believe. My whole focus in ministry has been to help people know how to glorify God with their lives. You know, we know in Scripture we can see a lot of commands. Like last night, we talked about rejoicing in the Lord always. And you know, as I watched that video, I said, you know, how in the world could Rebecca rejoice after going through all of that? But we saw that she did. And the thing of it is, we don't rejoice in circumstances and in happenings in our lives many times. We rejoice in the Lord, the verse said, and in his goodness. And if you did not come last night, were not able to come, and you did not get one of the little handouts, I hope there are some left. If they're not, I can make sure there are four left. Okay, so four of you can rush out if you didn't get them and make sure you get one of the handouts. But I gave them a challenge to rejoice in the Lord every day, and I gave them one attribute of God to rejoice in, a scripture reference. And for each day, I ask you to focus on just one attribute. Today was he's the sanctifier. So how many of you use the card today? Anybody use it today? Okay, good. I'd encourage you before the day's out to focus on the fact that God sanctifies. Now that's a fancy big word a lot of times that people don't know, but basically he set us apart. There's a process of growing in the Christian life that's called sanctification. And that's how we grow to be more like Jesus Christ. And that's a lifelong process. And so God is the one that enables that in our life. And so I want to encourage you to get that card. Meditate, think about for a few minutes every day an attribute of God. So the focus that we're going to use, let's see, where did my... I got to get all my stuff out here. My focus for this weekend was preparing our hearts to be thankful. I realize this is Thanksgiving, and so we kind of take that for granted. But, you know, we need to really, if we're going to be thankful every day, every week, every month, throughout the year, we need to prepare our hearts to be thankful. And so last night at the dinner, and my, that was a fine dinner. Those of you that fixed dishes, I could have, I felt like a tick when I left here that was full. I tell you, it was just wonderful, and I appreciate, I'm so thankful also that you can understand country jokes. I grew up in West Virginia, and so we had ticks everywhere. And so I got ugly pictures of ticks growing up. But not everywhere you speak, people understand some of those references to things like ticks. But praise the Lord, he is the God that he is. And we need to focus more on him. If we're going to be thankful, we can be thankful because of who he is. And we need to focus on that in our lives. So preparing our hearts to be thankful, we need to spend time worshiping God, rejoicing in the Lord for who he is. Now, I want to direct your attention to book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 4. And in Philippians chapter 4, I just want to read a few verses here this morning. And we're going to be in this passage also this evening as well. So you might want to read it again this afternoon. But Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4, which is the one we covered last night, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, Paul says, rejoice. He says, let your moderation be known unto all men. Now that word moderation there is the idea of gentleness. Let your gentleness be known unto all men. When I think of someone exhibiting gentleness before all men, I think of your pastor. He is a gentle, gentle person. And may more of us be gentle, including me. Sometimes I let my emotions get away with me, like I talked about last night when the stoplight didn't stay green like I wanted it to. Sometimes our emotions can get out of hand. But God says, let your gentleness be, notice there he says, be known unto not just some people, not just those we like, not just those that are close to us, but to all men, all humans. The Lord is at hand, he says. Verse 6, he says, be careful for nothing. And that word careful there is the Greek word that we get our English word anxious. Or basically, you probably have heard it, we need to not worry. In fact, he's telling them, stop worrying. Stop being anxious, because they were being anxious, the Philippian Christians. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And there's the basis of the thanksgiving that we're focusing on here. Our prayer needs to have thanksgiving in it. That needs to be kind of the underlying foundation of our prayer time. Not just asking God for things and requesting things, but focusing on being thankful to him for who he is, but also what he has done. Now notice, if we rejoice in the Lord, if we let our moderation be known unto all men, our gentleness be known unto all men, if we're careful in our prayer time to make sure we focus on thanksgiving. Verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, but I would like to cash in on that peace of God that passeth all understanding. And that's really what I'm going to focus on this weekend with you, is how can I get the peace of God? A lot of Christians, a lot of people that are saved, you know, realize that they're going to heaven, but when in their life, it looks like they've been sucking lemons. They got, you know, they got a sour look on their face all the time. They don't have the peace of God. As I was thinking about the Apostle Paul, I mentioned a little bit of it last night. If anyone had an excuse to be sad, to be discouraged, to be defeated, it was the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, just for preaching the gospel, had gone through many, many things. 5 times he was beaten with 39 stripes. 3 times he was beaten with rods. He was stoned once. He was shipwrecked. Now he's in prison awaiting trial that will ultimately lead to his being condemned to die and his execution. So if anyone had an excuse to be discouraged and maybe question what God was doing in their life, surely it was the Apostle Paul. But we don't see that in this passage. In fact, the Christians that are discouraged because he's not with them, he's writing this letter to encourage them. that word rejoice or joy or the root form of it, joy, is found, I believe it's 9 or 11 times in this short epistle, because he's trying to encourage these Christians to rejoice no matter what's going on in their life. Verse 8, it says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." That phrase, "think on these things," is a command, just like rejoice was, just like being careful for nothing, just like let your requests be made known unto God, just like let your moderation be known unto all men. All of those are commands. We'll see that in a minute. But he says our thinking, we need to think on certain things. Our mind, naturally, as sinners, we naturally think negative. If my wife tells me she's going to go grocery shopping and be gone for 2 hours, when hour three and four starts rolling around, I begin to get a little bit concerned. And if she's still not here, she's not responding to text messages or phone calls or whatever, hour five rolls around, all of a sudden I'm calling the state police to see if there's been any accidents anywhere, or the hospital, you know, to check to see if they've checked her in somewhere. Why is that? Because our minds, our human sinful minds, normally go to the negative. Whenever we don't know what's going on, we normally think negative. And so the passage here challenges us that we need to change the way we think. Don't think negatively. You need to focus on whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely. You know, once we're saved, in Romans chapter 12, it says that we are not to be conformed to this world, but we are to be transformed by the renewing of our, do you know what the next word is? Minds. You know, we don't need to reform our minds. We need a mind transplant. We need to have our minds transformed, and we need to replace our sinful thinking with the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And so we need to have our minds transformed by replacing it, and we replace it by using the Word of God. He goes on to say in verse 9, he says, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me." What's the next word? Do. Another command, another imperative. And the Apostle Paul says, okay, we've taught you some things, you've learned some things, you've seen my behavior and seen how I've implemented these things in my life. Will you do these also? Now, it's interesting what he says next. He says, "And the God of peace shall be with you." So we're talking about preparing our hearts for things, for being thankful. Peace and joy are possible in discouraging times. And so the Apostle Paul is trying to encourage these Christians to get the peace of God. And by the way, that peace of God shows possession. It's the peace that belongs to God. Or if we wouldn't say, that's the van of Sharon Nichols out there. It's Sharon's van. This is God's peace. Think about this. if we'll obey and submit to God and do what he says in his word and let our mind be transformed, he says, I'll give you my peace. This is not just peace. This is God's, the peace that belongs to God. Can you get your mind around that? It is perfect peace. Nothing ever troubles God. But boy, it troubles me. And I struggle to make sure that my focus is upon obeying God's word so that I can have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. So as we think about this thought of having peace and joy, I want to point out something probably obvious to you, but in case it's not, this peace, God has literally given us everything we need to have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Well, what we need to realize in our Christian life, a lot of people think that Christianity is kind of mystical. You know, if you want the peace of God, you just say, God, give me your peace, and then all of a sudden, poof, he gives you his peace. No, what he does is he provides all the resources available to us that we need to have his peace, but there's some responsibility that is on us. You see, God could, if he chose to do it that way, he could make us into robots. Or, you know, he could make the stones worship him. But God, when he created man, he created man with a free will, what we call a free will, the freedom to choose. God didn't want us to mechanically worship him or praise him. He wanted us to do it because we desired to. And the only reason we would desire to is because he has loved us first, and he has shown his grace and mercy to us first. And so as we think about what God has given us, I want to draw your attention. You might want to keep your finger there in, or put up your bulletin there in that passage in Philippians. But go back to the Gospel of John. I'm going to look at a couple of verses here in the Gospel of John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, I'm talking about the resources that God has already given us. We have everything we need to have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Notice in John chapter 14, this was right after in the passage where Jesus is teaching his disciples, where he's getting ready to be tried and crucified. He tells, and if you'll go back over in chapter 13, verse 17, he tells them, he says, now if you know the things that I've taught you, he says, happy are ye. Is that what it says? If you just know the things that I've taught you, there's an important word in there. Happy are ye if what? You do them. There's an obedience required. See, a lot of people are looking for joy and happiness and peace, but they're not willing. They want to do it their own way. They want life their own way. They don't want it God's way, you see. But Jesus makes it very clear. He says, if you want the joy, the happiness that comes, he says, you need to obey what I've said. Look down in chapter 14. Look with me at verse 15. Jesus here says, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's why it's important that we know what the Word of God says, so we know what we're supposed to do. He says in verse 16, he says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So he's promising the Holy Spirit. We'll see that in just a moment to his followers there. And he tells them that as he leaves the earth through his crucifixion, he's going to ask the Father to give to us the Holy Spirit. When a person receives Christ as Savior, they receive the Holy Spirit in them. They receive all of the Holy Spirit. They don't need more of him. They've got him in there. And if you're here this morning and you're a child of God, you receive Christ as Savior, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. And the Holy Spirit is the one that will enable you to be obedient to the commands that Jesus has given us. Notice, drop down to verse 26. He says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now notice this verse closely, the next one. Verse 27, peace, Jesus speaking here, peace I leave with you, my peace. See that? The peace that belongs to Jesus Christ, perfect peace. He says, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. He says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And so here he's given us the Holy Spirit. Of course, we know that he also gave us the Word of God. That's the commands of Jesus. And so we basically have everything that we need. But now drop down to verse 10 in chapter 15. He says, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. He says, these things have I spoken unto you, that, what's the next phrase? My joy. Whose joy is that? Christ's joy. He says, that my joy might remain where? In you. That my joy, Jesus' joy, might remain in you, he says, and your joy might be, what's the word? Full. Now, I don't know about you, but I want that. I want the peace of God that passeth all understanding. No matter what I'm going through, no matter the struggle that I'm facing. And on the video that we saw a lady that you couldn't drum up joy and peace like she had. It had to come from God after going through what she did. I mean, I kind of put myself in her shoes and I said, wow. I pray that I would have enough spiritual strength to tap into those resources that she did. And she could rejoice in the Lord even in that circumstance that she was going through. God's given us everything that we need to have that peace and joy. But you know, unfortunately, many Christians, they don't live the victorious Christian life. They live a defeated life because they haven't allowed God to change them as they have obeyed the Word of God. And the passage there tells us, even though he's given us what we need, we must obey God's word. And that's what Philippians 4:9 was saying that we read there just a few moments ago, where he said, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now, in the passage in Philippians, there were a number of commands given. And this is, I'm just going to give you quickly a review of them. The first one was found in verse 4 where it says, rejoice in the Lord. Notice, always. There's no time that we should not be rejoicing in the Lord. He goes on in verse 5 there and tells us to be gentle, not to just people that we enjoy being with, but we're to be gentle to everyone. in verse 6. He focuses there on we need to replace the worry, the anxiety in our life with prayer, but it needs to be prayer with thanksgiving is the way that we're to do it. And many times we don't spend time thanking God for who He is or for what He's done. We are very quick to ask Him for things and to pray for requests for other people and ask Him to solve problems for us or whatever. But when He does those things, do we come back and thank Him for that? Thanksgiving is a very crucial part of our prayer time. Then He tells us there are some things that we need to think on. We need to have godly thoughts. I don't know about you, but sometimes just random thoughts come into my mind. Sometimes those thoughts are tend to be negative. You probably don't watch the news or listen to the news very much. If you do, I'd encourage you to cut back on that. The news is just so negative, isn't it? Just so much negativity going on today. Not just with respect to politics, but just everything. News about inflation, about prices and going up, costs going up, medical things. You know, I shared with the folks last night about, you know, one of the reasons we had to step down is because we'd had a stroke and had to have surgery on our carotid artery. And then just a few months ago, in my journey in life, God has allowed me to have cancer. And so we're in the midst of going through radiation treatment for that. But I found that some of the medication, the chronic pain, the back pain that I have, the arthritis that I have, go through chronic pain, negative thoughts tend to come more frequently. They've talked about these senior years are supposed to be golden, but I don't know what's golden about them. If I don't work at it, negative thoughts will dominate me. Those of you that may take prescription medication, while I was still in the pastorate, I was on a pain medication that had a side effect of negative thoughts. It took me to places I didn't want to be. And I just went to the doctor and said, I'm not taking this stuff anymore because of the side effects that it has. Negativity takes you to the place. If you're not careful, it can take you, if unchecked, if you don't check it, if you don't tap into the resources that God has given you, that negativity that, by the way, is natural from our sin nature, plus the fact that we've got our enemy, Satan, that wants to control our minds and wants it to be focused on negative things. If he can defeat us mentally, then he has rendered us hopeless to glorify God in any way. And so that's why he bombards our mind with all of this negativity. And unchecked, it'll take us to places we really don't want to be. Discouragement, depression, complaining, questioning God. Is it Brother Wilson? Is it Wilson? You were a pastor here before. Well, I forgot what your name was. Taylor. Boy, I really messed that up, didn't I? Yeah, I did. And you're retired now, right? Okay, so maybe you can relate to what I'm getting ready to say. When I was a pastor, I was every day there were people calling, questions, prayer, you needed help in areas. And Boy, I was constantly busy. Once I retired, nobody calls me about anything. I'm going through withdrawal pains. You know, I'm having symptoms of withdrawal. And if you're not careful, you can get discouraged and defeated. And so this negative thought life is really something that God realizes will rob us of His peace, His joy. And we've got to get a hold of it. Tonight I'm going to talk about the principle of replacement a little bit. To put off the old man, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man. That's God's principle for how to change in the Christian life. And I'd encourage you, if you could, be here for that tonight. But not only do we need to have the right kind of thoughts, godly thoughts. You know, it's one thing to know what to do, but it's totally something else to do what we know we need to do. And a lot of times we don't do what we know we need to do because, listen, we do not feel like it. Now, I don't know about you, but feeling like doing things like I used to, I don't have too many days that I feel like doing stuff. But I know if I don't get out of bed, if I don't start doing something, I'm going to end up in worse shape than I was before. We've got to make ourselves, we've got to tell our mind, our emotions, I'm going to do this because it's the right thing to do. And that's what obeying the Word of God is. You know, Jesus said, love your enemies. Well, Jesus didn't know what that person said to me or said about me or did to me. Oh, really? He's God, isn't he? He's all-knowing. And he knew exactly what they were going to say or do or whatever. When he gave the commandment, love your enemies. Now, he didn't say we need to whip up a good feeling toward our enemy. No, he told us how we were to love him in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44, I believe, where he said, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Jesus said it's not about feeling good to obey. It's just obey whether you feel like it or not and trust God for the results. You see, we can bless or say kind things to someone that has hurt us. We can do that. We may not feel like it. We may not want to, but we can do that. Are you with me? Hello. We can not only say kind things, but we can do kind things. You know, when we pass them on the highway and they're sitting there on the side of the road with a flat tire and no jack or whatever, you know, you don't toot your horn and smile real big and wave at them and say, you're getting what you deserve. No, we stop and help them. Are you with me here? So it's not about feeling like it. It's about just choosing to obey what God says. And that's the key to having the peace of God that passes all understanding. We just need to obey what God says, whether we feel like it or not. And when we obey what God says, we need to just leave it with Him and trust Him for the results. The third thing that we were to do to our enemies is pray for them. We can pray for our enemies, can't we? Now, listen. Don't pray that God would send lightning out of heaven, you know, or that, you know, God would punish them in some way. You know, pray God's blessing on their life. They may not be saved. That's the natural thing. You know, so we can bless, do good, and pray. But it's a matter of choosing to obey. Now, the key thing, I believe, that in all of this is if we are going to have that peace of God that passeth all understanding, we need to be able to control our thought life. The Apostle Paul told us that we need in 2 Corinthians 10:5, that's not on the slides, you might want to write that down, 2 Corinthians 10:5, that we need to bring every thought into captivity. Do you realize that you can only think about one thing at a time? I know it seems like you ladies can think about multiple things, but really you can only think about one thing at a time. Your CPU, your processor in there moves faster than us men. So it seems like you're doing more than one thing or thinking of more than one thing at a time, but you can really only think about one thing at a time. So when a negative thought comes to your mind, you need to choose to replace that with a positive thought. What's a positive thought? Well, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just. Are you with me here? Go back to the verse 8 in that passage there and ask yourself the question, well, what is true? Well, what is true? God loves me. God's allowed me to be where I am right now. He has chosen, had enough trust in me to put me in this situation so I can glorify Him. Focus on glorifying God in the situation rather than, oh me, why do I have to go through this? Why does this have to happen to me? Those negative thoughts take us to places we don't want to go. So it's a matter of learning how to control and bring those thoughts into captivity. Because in Proverbs 23:7, it says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so if our heart is focused on the negative thoughts, that's exactly how we'll act, exactly how we'll respond. So after obedience, after we know what God says to do, after we obey, He tells us that the peace of God that passeth all understanding will be in our life. And not only that, we also read in verse 9 there that the God of peace will be working in us. That's perfect peace. We are able to learn how to have the peace of God while living in the presence of the God of peace. But I want to point out something very, very important, because there are a lot of people that believe they're saved, believe they're a Christian, believe these promises that God gives are theirs, but they've never received Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so this peace of God and the presence of the God of peace working in our life is only possible as we have peace with God. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, it talks about having peace with God. Having the peace of God in our hearts and minds begins with us having peace with God. What does that mean? Well, as sinners, we are born separated from God. We are born enemies of God. Every one of us. All have sinned, Romans 3 says, and come short of the glory of God. That's every man, woman, boy, and girl, not only here, but in the entire world. We are born separated from God. And something has to happen in order for us to be back in a right relationship with Him, so that we have peace with Him. And what had to happen was that God had to send His Son to die, not for His sins, but for my sins and for yours. He died in our place. He was our substitute. And the Bible clearly tells us that if he died for us, he purchased eternal life for us. But just because eternal life is the gift of God that he wants to give to us doesn't mean every one of us have it. We only have it as we personally, not our parents, not our grandparents, not our brothers or sisters, as we personally receive him as our Savior. That's what gives us peace with God. And so as I think about having peace and joy in discouraging times, I would really be delinquent if I didn't encourage you to make sure you have peace with God. Do you know for sure that Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? Can you remember a time where you confessed to him that you were a sinner? Acknowledge the fact that Jesus died for you? And you personally ask him to be your Savior? Can you remember that? It's when you, at that moment, put your faith and trust in Jesus and what he did that immediately gave you peace with God. And if you have peace with God for eternity, you can have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Let's bow our heads. Every head bowed, every eye closed. It is not what happens to us that defeats us in our lives. It's how we react to what happens to us that defeats us and robs us of the peace that can be available to us. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, I've had the opportunity to meet a few of you, but I really don't know about your spiritual relationship with God. And so I'm asking that nobody look around, that this be a very private time. How many of you know for sure that if something were to happen to you today and you would go into eternity, you know for sure that you would be with God in heaven? And you could raise your hand. Amen. All over the auditorium. Thank you so much. You may put your hand down. You may be here today and you did not raise your hand, and I appreciate your honesty, but you would say, Brother Nichols, I do not know for sure that I'm going to heaven. I would like to know that I would, but I do not know for sure. In just a moment, I'm going to pray, and I promise you I will not point you out or embarrass you in any way. I promise. But I just want to pray for you in a general way. And if you're here today and you'd say, Brother Nichols, I couldn't raise my hand a few moments ago, but I would like to know for sure I was going to heaven, please pray for me. And you'd raise your hand. All right. Amen. That's good. Anyone else? Maybe you're here as a Christian and you'd say, Brother Nichols, I know that I'm going to heaven, but I really struggle in my thought life with negative thoughts, with things that take me to the point of discouragement, even depression maybe. And I really want to work on getting the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Please include me in your prayer, Brother Nichols. Is there anyone like that here that would raise your hand? Amen. 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 With our heads bowed and eyes closed, let's quietly stand to our feet. Father, as we come to you today, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Apostle Paul. Lord, we thank you for the instruction that you've given us in your word of how we might be able to have the peace that only you have, that perfect peace that passeth all understanding, even in discouraging and negative times. Father, I pray for those that raise their hand, first of all, for those that raise their hand indicating that they are your child, but they struggle in the area of thinking on the right kind of things or allowing the wrong things to dwell or continue to be in their mind, and it pulls them down. I pray for them, and I pray, Lord, that they would learn how to get victory in this area. I pray you'd encourage them to come back tonight as we show them in a practical way how to learn to do this. Lord, I pray for those that raise their hand desiring to know for sure they're going